Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Obstetricians and staffs at some hospital delivery rooms nationwide are gearing up for a summer baby boom. Lots of babies being born this summer, and you know why? Many say that it was sparked by 9/11. This was kind of a wake-up call for people, said Dr. Paul Castell, an obstetrician and professor at Long Island College Hospital in New York City. They saw the towers burning, and when they got home, they said, you know what, it's never going to be the right time. We should start now. New York, which took the biggest hit in the terrorist attacks, is expected to be the boom's epicenter. Castell says beginning in mid-June, deliveries in his own Brooklyn practice will increase 20 to 25% compared with last summer. And across the country, they're expecting a similar increase that following 9/11, are they sure people were attempting to make babies? How do they know it wasn't just a lot of people coupling and the end result was babies? Maybe it wasn't so much the plan as it was a byproduct of the plan. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Sometimes just people want to get together, and the logical result of that is this. And elsewhere, some delivery room staffs around the country also bracing themselves. I don't know how many people remember there was a blackout in New York City in the 60s. There was a blackout. It lasted for I don't know how long, a couple of days. There was no electricity. There were no lights. And there was a baby boom in New York 9 months after that. Because the first thing I guess people thought of with the lights out was, let's screw. It doesn't make me less of a man to say the following. I'd be looking for a fuse box. Because I guess I'm not the relaxed type, you know. I got to have things kind of, the mood has got to be, I got to know where the electricity is going to come on, and if there'll be a food supply and there isn't radiation creeping over the South Tectonic Plate. You know, I need to have all those things kind of nice before I can settle in for the night, settle in for a little, you know, spare time with my wife or whoever. Well, for me, it'd be my wife. It wouldn't be whoever, but you know. And I kind of like to know that the world is doing fine with blackouts and terror attacks. I don't know. Fact is, a lot of guys say, you know, the lights are out. Now I can, you know, I don't have to look at you. So let's go ahead and, I'm joking. I'm sure that they didn't say that. Well, maybe they did. Gee, look at it. The lights are out, honey. I don't have to look at you now. Let's go. And then, of course, after World War II, that was the big baby boom. That was 75 million babies born between 1945 and 1962. 75 million. Now, how many people are in the United States? Well, that's about one-third, isn't it? It's about one-third of the people in the United States were born between 1945 and 1962. That's a big load of stupid kids who became dumb 30-somethings. And now we're all like 40, 50, and we're still just as wrong in the head. Just mental. So this baby boom thing, but now here come, and they say that recently there have been a lot of babies being born, but now with this September 11th thing, big time. At this point, evidence of an overall jump in post-September 11th pregnancies, even for the New York metropolitan area, is anecdotal. That means there isn't any hard and fast evidence. It's just sort of word of mouth. It's a little hearsay. That's because it takes demographers weeks or even months to collect and tally official birth data. There are, however, signs that a boom's coming, says Breck Bromberg, who runs a business called 40 Weeks, a wholesaler for products for babies and new mothers. Her company's sales to such retailers as Babies R Us are up more than 75%. Did I ever tell you I wrote a commercial for a company called Baby Toy Town? It was a business that sold baby stuff. And I wrote this commercial with two superheroes. One was Super Baby, which was the actual pitch man would be Super Baby. And Super Baby flew through the air. And his arch nemesis was the Dribbler. And I thought it was brilliant, but they didn't go for it. It was out of sight. I wrote it like around the time that Batman came out or something. There's a whole kind of superhero bullcrap. So there's this company. It's called Baby Toy Town. I think it might be still around. And they said, well, we'll pay you to write these commercials. So I think I wrote about three or four spots for them, but the Super Baby and the Dribbler, I was really proud of that. And I don't know why Super Baby had to kick the Dribbler's ass. It had something to do with selling the products. But every time Super Baby would pitch a product, whatever it may be, whether it was a high chair, whether it was a teething ring of some kind, the Dribbler would fly in and try to mess up the sale. And at the end of every commercial, the dribbler would get his tiny ass kicked, and but he'd be back to fight again next commercial. Next episode. 1-800-449-8686. All right, now, sir, you say that you say that you understand a little bit about the situation.
Yes.
That we're talking about.
Yes, because I know you were joking about it, Phil. But in New York, after 9/11, if a man was a firefighter, he was absolutely attractive to women. And
So those guys are the heroes of the city, obviously.
Yes.
Were you in New York?
Yes, I travel for my business. I have an import-export business. I've also got an enterprise which is selling these New York firefighter uniform for men who want to make a woman feel as if she is secure. I think of what happened more than anything after 9/11, if I could tell you, Phil, because I've seen this with my own eyes.
Wait, you said you saw a lot of guys wearing fire hats?
No, but what happened after 9/11, a lot of women felt very insecure, and they thought that they were not safe. And the firefighters became a symbol of, a sexual symbol of safety. And I noticed when I put on this baseball cap that I had, this FDNY, Fire Department New York, that I would have more opportunity to be a romantic with a woman.
Are you single?
Yes, I'm single.
And you travel to New York a lot?
Yes, on business in the downtown area.
Around where the World Trade Center was?
Yes. And I would go into these different places or restaurants, it's different bar, and wearing this baseball cap. And these women would assume that I am New York City Fire Department. Fire Department of New York. And they, I can tell you this, Phil, I am not exaggerating. Since around the 20th of September, when I started to wear this FDNY baseball cap.
Now, this is a baseball cap that says Fire Department of New York?
FDNY.
FDNY.
Since I start to wear this, I have had more... The sex is almost every week, three women a week is constant sex. But it's not just about the sex either. It's the opportunity.
You've had constant sex since this 20th of September because you've been wearing this firefighter hat.
Yes, but it's the opportunity to make a woman feel secure. And more than anything else, the women wanted to feel as if they had a hero. I think this is why. There are a lot of women who are looking to their husbands. Will you be my hero? Please make love to me. Be my hero. They're looking to their boyfriend. Be my hero. Will you make love to me? But what they really want is a real hero. And the real hero of 9/11, of course, the New York City Police Department and the New York City Fire Department.
Well, are you a fireman?
I'm not a fireman.
So by you walking into a bar wearing a Fire Department of New York City baseball cap...
Well... It's you don't have to be a fireman to be a woman's hero. You just give the illusion.
Do you tell these women you work for the fire department?
Whatever can make them feel secure. Whatever. Because when they see this fire uniform, when they see this hat, they know you are their hero.
Well, what do you say to a woman if she asks you, are you a real fireman?
Well, they don't say, are you a real fireman?
But what do they ask?
They will ask, where do you work? What division do you work? What battalion do you work?
And what do you say?
Do you know what you do, Phil, at that moment? You grab them by the shoulders and you kiss them as hard as you can. And she will melt. Because I know, because I've seen this happen for me. In this time, I've been in New York City since September.
You grab her really when a woman says to you, "Are you really a firefighter or what battalion?" You just grab her and kiss her.
You kiss her hard in the mouth, and she will melt like hot butter. And you kiss her, and you pull away, and you look at her, and you give her what we in Argentina, many Latin men know, as an expression of your passion and your appreciation for her. You simply go. La 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 la. Now, what that is?
What is that?
That's with the tongue extended from the mouth. You kiss her hard. and you say la 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 while you're wearing the Fire Department of New York hat.
Let me ask you something, and it's Rudy, right?
Yes, sir.
Rudy, is it honest of you to wear a Fire Department of New York baseball cap, and Chris tells me that you sometimes have worn the full firefighter uniform?
Yes, I have.
Is that honest?
Is it right? Is it honest for a woman to feel secure? Is it honest for a woman to be to have a hero? Is it wrong for me to be a woman's hero for the night? In association with our enterprise, we are selling replica Fire Department of New York firefighter uniforms. It's called Incate Chiva Bonita, which means I can be your hero.
That's Spanish?
That is Spanish. Incate Chiva Bonita. I can be your hero. And when a man puts on the New York City firefighter uniform, he can walk into a bar, he can walk into a restaurant, he can walk into any place where there are women. And you can be a woman's hero. And you kiss her, and you say, la 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 la, Incate Chiva Bonita, I can be your hero.
Are you selling these?
We are selling them.
Okay, so these are replica New York City firefighter uniforms in order for guys to have sex, right?
No, it's not for that, for the, you misunderstand.
Well, that's what the byproduct is. If a guy walks in wearing a firefighter uniform, women dig it, right?
Hey, women dig it, but let me play for you a strain of this song, and you will hear what I mean. This is on the I Can Be Your Hero. Listen to this, Phil.
No, I know the song, okay?
But listen, for a man who wears a firefighter uniform, listen.
If I asked you to dance,
Incate Chiva Bonita,
would you run?
All right, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Don't you think it's dishonest for you to be selling these?
If you see
yeah,
me cry.
I can hear it, okay?
Do you hear that? Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Would you say
isn't it dishonest for you to be selling
tonight?
These? You're going to need to turn that down.
I can't.
Would you tremble?
Turn it down.
Okay. Is that better?
That's better. Is it honest for you to be selling firefighter uniforms to guys, and then they put them on and they go into a bar to pick up chicks?
No, it's not to pick up chicks. It's to help a woman feel as if she has a hero. Listen to this. I can be your hero, baby. Tonight. Incate Chiva Bonita.
I can be your hero, baby.
La 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 la.
Okay, I got it.
But that's what.
I got it.
Yes, that's what Conos Enterprise.
So, get you guys order up your firefighter uniforms.
Yes.
All right, hold on for a minute here, Rudy. 1-800-449-8686. Women really want a hero after 9/11, and the most obvious hero is the New York City fireman. You can order up a replica firefighter uniform, wear it into a bar or a restaurant, and be a hero for some lady that night, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, you got to get him to turn that down, okay? It's very lovely. I mean, I just need to be able to talk here. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. I want to ask you something, Rudy. Since September the 11th, our firefighters have been probably been given what has been long overdue. Excuse me. That was...
Wow.
I know. I need to get over to a different...
Well, you're going to leave me hanging.
Hold on for a minute. Let me just say this. Since 9/11, our firefighters have been given some long overdue respect, wouldn't you say?
I could not agree more.
All right. What you're saying is you're selling firefighter uniforms to guys that aren't firefighters so they can...
Well, it's... You know, Phil, every man wants to be appreciated, and every man wants the company of a woman, and yes, he wants the physical company of a woman. And I am trying to get that for them. And the best way to do this post 9/11 is to put on a fire department of New York uniform and walk into a place. The women will think you're a firefighter. And they absolutely fall. This is the latest thing for women. They love firemen, and they will have sex with a fireman. And I am telling you this to you and your audience, that since 9/11, since I started to wear this baseball cap, Fire Department of New York, and the women will ask, are you a fireman? And I say to them, yes, I am. And we will talk, and I will find myself kissing them and hugging them, and when they ask me technical terms,
Well, what do you do if a woman asks you a technical? Are women that stupid?
No, women are not stupid, but it's the fire department. What do they know? You know, I say.
Well, what do they ask you?
They ask me about the fire. I say, you turn on the hose and spray the water. This is all. They don't need to know anything. And they'll say, what is it like in the station? I say, well, we slide down a pole, you know. What's the big deal? There's nothing to explain. You just walk in.
Well, what do you buy with this kit?
You put on the fire helmet and the overalls and boots and an axe.
And then you walk into a bar like that.
The women love it. I'm trying to tell you. Have you seen this 9/11? What the women love? They love the fire department. They love the firefighters.
Well, they're going to see through that.
No, they don't. They think you're a fireman, so they'll go don't have sex with you.
What do you walk into a bar wearing boots, a helmet, and a fire axe?
Yes. I know, it sounds ridiculous. No fireman would really do that, but we're talking about women. And women.
Well, to me, it sounds like you're making women sound stupid.
No, I'm not saying they're stupid. They just don't know about firemen, and they don't know how he works.
All right, now you got a deluxe kit that has charcoal makeup to put on your face.
Yeah.
Why?
So it looks like you just saved someone's life. You came running out of the building.
So they got a helmet, overalls, charcoal to put on the face, and an axe.
Yep. And I will tell you something. You will sweep a woman off her feet. This is the greatest thing that I have discovered to get some of that punilia. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
This is the greatest. Get this firefighter uniform now. You get the jacket and baseball hat, which is the Fire Department of New York baseball hat. Most guys need the boots and the helmet, but I need only the baseball cap. The jacket and boots are $269.99. The helmet's $429.99. You can be a hero, though. And you can be a hero for so many women.
Are guys supposed to lead women to believe that they're firefighters, then, in other words, so they can get sex?
You know, you say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I'm not saying that sex is a bad thing, but let's be clear. Get your firefighter uniform so women will think you're a firefighter and you'll get laid more.
Yes, and in that moment you are, you say it like it's bad. In that moment you're her hero. If she asks, are you really a firefighter, you take her into your arms. You kiss her hard in the mouth. You say something which is very Latin. She will melt like the steel in the World Trade Center after the, when the planes hit. But that's bad. Would you laugh?
That's a nice comparison, man.
I'm sorry.
All right, now what is this Dalmatian rental?
If you've noticed, firefighters always travel with Dalmatians.
Okay, so are you telling me we're walking into a bar with an axe and a Dalmatian and a fire helmet?
Yes. When a woman is thinking with her... Let me tell you something. When a woman's thinking with her you-know-what, they see the letters FDNY and boom, they're naked.
Well, that's what it says here. Put on this firefighter uniform from the Fire Department of New York and women will get naked for you.
That's right. And you know why I can say that? Because it's happened for me.
She's going to get naked while you stand there with a fire axe and a Dalmatian.
Yes. I know, it's nuts, but believe me.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Would you run? I got that, man. That's great.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here they found water on Mars, and if they got water, that means there could be some moss or some kind of microbe life. And if there's microbe life, maybe there's vegetation. And if there's vegetation, maybe there are thinking, sentient things up there. A huge sea of ice lies just under the surface of Mars. What is it with Mars, anyway? Every science fiction movie, it doesn't happen in many years, but every science fiction movie that ever came out when I was a kid had something to do with some Martian. And I'm not talking about War of the Worlds, either. I'm talking about even Forbidden Planet, Red Planet, all that stuff, but just every cat that was doing something bad was a Martian. Mars Attacks is the most recent Martian movie that I can think of. And they've remade Red Planet. Then they had one called Mission to Mars. How can you come out with two movies about Mars within about a year of each other, and they both suck huge eggs? How does that happen? Did you watch either one of them to any conclusion? Did you watch? Red Planet was on this weekend. Oh, my God, I couldn't figure it out. Mars Attacks, I hear, was great. Of course, I didn't watch it. The one Mars movie that came out, it was good. I missed it. But Red Planet and Mission to Mars, I didn't understand what either one was about. And they had to have the cornball line. See, every time I watch one of these movies now, I'm waiting for something different or unusual in terms of dialogue. I'm not waiting to hear, okay, let's get this show on the road. Or some term like that, you know. Hey, maybe little green men will want to marry you, Mary, since you don't want to marry me. You know, they're making these jokes as they're on their way to Mars. And who's buying dinner when they get out of the deep sleep, the what's that thing called, the deep freeze that they sleep in when they go to another planet? You know, the best science fiction ever made, in my opinion, was Alien. It was so realistic. Of course, now it looks dated because all the computers they're using are just so bloody old. But back then, it was just an eye-popper, man, to see all that really cool, those computers going off, and the people woke up, and they came out of the capsule, and then the alien itself. And if you slow Alien down right at the point that it attacks Yaphet Kotto, I mean, take it down all the way down to almost slow, frame by frame. Can you do that with your VCR? You can see the thing, like, take a chunk out of his head. It's far out. Just like how its jaw shot out. It shoots out and, like, goes right into Yaphet Kotto's skull. It's really sweet. Cryogenics. That's what I was thinking of. Where Walt Disney's supposed to be. Alien was top-notch. So now they think they got water. It also might harbor life and certainly explain where some of the water went from Mars, or some of the water went when Mars went from being a warm and wet place to the cold, dry desert it is now. The researchers report in this week's issue of the journal Science. I got a theory about Mars. It's really simply this. Mars and Earth were like brother and sister, kind of evolving, and something happened to Mars. Like, just the wrong kind of gas, the wrong kind of something was in the atmosphere, and we kept going, and they just stalled. That's what I think. And they may be stalled at a point where they might have, like, vegetable life or something. There might be some kind of an intelligent celery that lives up there. It's worth a shot. It's worth a shot. Dr. Harbinger, don't you think so? Well, Billy. By the way, another science fiction movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Today, I would not let my kid wander the city with some tall, thin guy in a gray suit, and I'm not quite sure who he is. In this movie, Klaatu comes from another planet. This flying saucer lands in the middle of Washington, D.C. He splits. He comes out of the flying saucer. Suddenly, he takes a room in a boarding house in Washington, gets to meet the mother, and gets to meet Billy the kid. Billy, who's a kid. He doesn't meet Billy the kid. So a Martian meets Billy the kid. That'd be perfect. Well, I wonder how history would have changed then. Anyway, and she says, how are you, Mr. Jones?
I'm fine. Your son Billy is a fine boy, compassionate, interesting. I was wondering if I might take him to the Smithsonian tomorrow.
Well, I guess it's okay. You go up, you grow up watching that movie, and now you watch it and you scream. Took me like 50 years to finally figure out, wrong! Wrong! That's what was wrong with that flick!
Billy?
Come on, Mr. Brown, I'll take you to the Smithsonian. Later, you can take my pants off.
That's fine.
And there was one time in a movie where the boyfriend of the mother finally says, don't you think there's something wrong with this guy taking the kid all over the city? And, of course, one of the places that he takes the kid is, let's go see Professor Browning. He's the smartest man I know. Maybe he can listen to what I have to say. So go see this eminent scientist in Washington, D.C., this little boy and this tall, thin clown from another planet. How'd I get on that, anyway? Oh, anyway, Day of the Earth, yeah, some Martian. I don't know if the cat was from Mars. He was from someplace. What we are seeing is there is a layer of ice just beneath the surface, just beneath the surface. That's probably how he said it, too. What we're seeing is a layer of ice just beneath the surface? I mean, I'm sorry, just beneath the surface. It is maybe a meter, 3 feet beneath the surface. He said the quantity seen compares to the amount of water in Lake Michigan. Scientists studying Mars have been looking for water for a number of reasons. For one, life as we know it requires water, and anyone who wants to spend any time on the planet would need water to drink and to use as a source of hydrogen for fuel. The amount of water present on Mars is sufficiently large that it can support future human exploration activities. Oh, my God, we're on our way to Mars. And by the time they get all of the equipment up there and they get this stuff just settled right in, I'll be dead and buried. By the time all this cool stuff starts happening on Mars, well, there it is. I hope you guys recognize that this is this. There it is. That's the first step. Colonization has begun. We're going to rework Mars, because if we got water, that means that we can hydrate. We can also begin to use the carbon dioxide, which is required for the growing of plants. And in turn, the plants create oxygen. And once you get enough oxygen, you can create an atmosphere for the planet. Now, I don't know how long that takes. But it's a fascinating. And many of you young people listening might want to give me a call right now. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, RC. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're not even going to be alive. So what do you care about when they hydrogenate the Mars place?
You know, I asked for an intelligent kid to call in, and I get you.
What?
When they hydrogenate the Mars place.
You'll never go to Mars. I'll go to Mars, but you'll never.
You're a punk.
Why don't you get yourself cryogenically frozen? Then we can unfreeze you, and you can live on Mars.
What are you screaming about?
What?
What is with him? Oh, what, do you resent the fact that I can talk intelligently?
No! You're going to be jealous of me on account of I'm going to live on Mars!
Well, big freaking deal, man! You call up to bug me because of my age? Huh? Is that it?
Yeah!
That's the oldest trick in the book, man. Bagging on somebody because they're old. You're going to be old, too.
Not if I live on Mars!
Why not?
Because! Hello? When they oxygenate the atmosphere, we'll be able to be in oxygen tanks, and you'll just be an Earth dweller.
What are you talking about, man? What do you think, because you go to Mars, they're going to pump it full of oxygen, and then all of a sudden you won't get old?
No, all Mars dwellers will not age. Only Earth dwellers will.
Bull crap. Where'd you read that?
In a book I'm reading.
Yeah, there you go. In a book you're reading. Has it got pictures, too?
Matter of fact, it does.
Great. In color?
Yeah.
And everything that everybody says, do they say it into a big white bubble?
How'd you guess? The other thing you can do on Mars, you can jump real high. And that'll make it easy going to school.
What a jerk off.
When you go to Mars, you age like a turtle, which is slow. Then I can be Yoda. You'll just be on Earth.
Congratulations, dickhead.
You'll be sorry when I go to Mars.
Yeah, my heart will be broken, man, when you land on Mars.
You will.
Yeah. I'll just be so sorry when you land on Mars. All right, 1-800, will you screen these calls, please? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, our website is thephilhendryshow.com place, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. You pick up a backstage pass that gives you access to all of our audio archives. And our audio archives consist of the short form and long form bits that we've done with callers. And we also have a listen live line so that you can hear the show anytime during the particular day it's being broadcast. You can hear that show on demand 24 hours a day. And then we have a 30-day archive, and you can hear any show going back the past 30 days. Along with that, we have a webcast archive in case you missed the first ever Phil Hendry Show webcast. We got to plan another webcast. I wonder what people would like to see me doing. I just had a poker game on Saturday with some friends of mine. Interesting. His wife said, there's 80 of you guys playing poker. And we said, yeah. She said, all right, that's at least a six-pack of beer apiece. Because we played for about, I'd say, 8 hours. And we said, okay, maybe it's a six-pack of beer apiece. Why? She says, well, all right, that's at least 4 trips to the bathroom per guy. And that's 4 times 8. That's 32 times a guy's going to be standing over that toilet trying to take a leak. She says, I know you guys ain't all going to hit the toilet. So none of you are allowed to be in the house going to the bathroom. You got to use this toilet that we got in the garage. Can you dig that? Because we're out in this back patio thing, and he set up the table real nice, and he had felt. He laid down a big board and laid down some felt. There's about 8 guys around the table, and everybody brought a little something, you know. And next thing I know, the redhead, the guy who's running the game, says, oh, Julie says you can't go in the house to use the bathroom. You got to go out to the garage. And I'm thinking, what did you get? We got a bucket out there we got to pee in? What are you talking about? We got to go out to the garage? Yeah, she said you can't. So I go out there. Now, get a load of this. He said, right in the back of this guy's garage, the guy that owned the house before him, for some reason, needed this exact combination of things to be in a room. There's a washing machine and a toilet. So that when you're doing your laundry and you need to go to the bath, you know, you can do both. Have you ever heard of such a thing? He's got that in his garage. He's got a washing machine and he's got a toilet. So there, you know, every so often there's guys making trips into the garage. And finally, at the end of the night, the guy's wife comes out. And I said, hey, Julie, mind if I take a leak on your front lawn? And I guess she didn't think I was going to do it, but I did. And I wrote my name, and so it was great. Anyway, that was that should be our next webcast. So if you want, check out our webcast archive. First ever Phil Hendry Show webcast was a few months back, and it was just before we went on vacation for Christmas. Check that out. We also have our souvenir shop. Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is available. The Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to wear the first piece of merchandise from the Phil Hendry Show. Now, I told you that when we started doing merchandise for this show, we weren't going to come out with just the perfunctory coffee mug. We weren't going to come out with a perfunctory, T-shirt, although we may come out with a perfunctory T-shirt. We're not doing the bobblehead doll. You guys are getting into a jazz with this bobblehead doll thing, man. You know how, if you're my age, you know how old that is? I grew up, there is a generation of us who grew up looking at little Dodger dolls wagging their heads in the backs of cars. So we ain't going to do no bobblehead doll, and we're not doing any of that. We're just doing the really quality action stuff. You can wear this Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt out for the evening. This is evening wear. You can wear this to dinner with your wife. You can wear this to a party. I mean, you name me one freaking T-shirt that any radio show ever pumped out that you could wear to a nice party. You can wear this to a party. You can wear this to church. You can wear the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt to church. There's nothing on it that would offend anybody other than the fact that it's advertising Ted's restaurant, which I personally wouldn't recommend eating at. But other than that, it's a fine shirt to wear. And it comes in small, medium, large, extra large, or extra, extra large. And it's all available there on our website at philhendryshow.com. And that's not all. You can also get one of our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs. That's right. Check out our various best of CDs. Our 2001 CD, Bring It, is available. $20 plus $350 shipping and handling. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. This year's CD is out, and it's a beautiful thing. And the summer is upon us now, so we're going to have to come up with another CD for the year 2002. And by the way, I might as well make the announcement right now. July 4th. July 4th weekend, the Phil Henry Show, another first. I don't know how many firsts we can possibly pack into a resume, but another first. On July the 4th, the Phil Henry Show will play the top 100 calls of the year, counting them down. Not the top 100 songs, not the top 100 albums, the top 100 calls of the year will be counting them down, starting with number 5. No, I'm kidding. I don't know if we can get 100 calls in, but we'll try to do our very best. That'll be on July 4th. We may have a celebrity appearance of Casey Kasem, one of them cats. I don't know. You don't have a lot of work to do, man. All you got to do is go into the DigiCart and pull out. You know how many calls we'll be able to do in 3 hours? We'll be able to do maybe 20 calls. That's all. 20 calls. 1-800-449-8686. Let me break off this stimulating conversation I'm having right now with... The stimulating conversation I'm having right now with Chris Pelton, and go to a kid in Utah who wants to talk about Mars. Colton?
First of all, about this Mars thing.
Yeah.
Now, if there was water in there, we have learned that the spaceship, when it landed, if there was water, because we were just telling about our theories, there was water, the space shuttle would collapse into the water under it because there's not enough ground.
Yeah, but they know where it is, so they ain't going to have the guy land on it. They just found out that we're on Earth and we know where it is. Don't you think the guy flying the shuttle would figure it out?
Well, still.
It ain't like it's everywhere. It's only the size of Lake Michigan.
Now, okay.
Believe me, man. I'm an adult.
Now, if you said the organisms were growing, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, if
there might be some intelligent life that breathes water. I don't know. What are you laughing about?
That fact.
You called me a dumbass?
No.
Oh.
Well, if the fact.
Well, then you
is...
called me the F word.
No, I didn't.
All right, go ahead. So, what's your thing?
The organisms, if they breathe water, the air molecules would end up bursting the molecule cells. Now, then...
Say that again.
Okay, so if they did breathe water, it would burst the molecule cells because then it couldn't access it.
We got fish that breathe water. What are you talking about?
They breathe not the water, they spit out the water.
Well, what if they got creatures that do that?
But
come on. Where you want to go with that now? See, I'm cutting you off at every turn, man. Go on. What else you got?
No.
Colton, come on.
Well,
go ahead.